So, Rob, before we talk about some of the changes at the Queen, can you remind us why World Cafe Live left the venue to begin with?
Tom, I know this won't come as a shock to you or the listeners, but in the end, it came down to revenue. I reached out to Chris Buccini, managing partner of the Buccini Pollen Group, which is a major real estate and development company here in Wilmington, and the owners of the building. He told me that the Queen was brought back to life in order to create more activity in downtown Wilmington and that the World Cafe Live model just wasn't capable of maximizing that goal. To me, Live Nation's reach, quite frankly, is much broader, and they have more firepower to bring in acts like Regina Spektor and Cheap Trick and so forth. And I think those acts are just the tip of the iceberg. And by the way, Live Nation did sign a 10-year lease for the Queen with the Buccini Pollen Group, so they're not going anywhere.
And Live Nation, as you mentioned in your piece, is making some noticeable changes. Let's start with the look of the venue. If people haven't been there since the switch, what would they notice when they arrive now?
Well, the marquee out front, for one, it's you don't even have to be going to a show and you'll notice it if you're on Market Street. It has that old school movie house kind of feel to it, with the name of the bands or the acts that are playing that week listed on the marquee. I think in an age where people love to take selfies and let friends know where they are and what they're doing, this will probably go a long way in that regard. Inside, you'll see a lot of kind of Andy Warhol-esque paintings of famous queens throughout history. And if you've been to the Fillmore in Philadelphia, which just so happens to be another Live Nation venue, you'll see the familiar chandeliers and purple hues on the walls. The box office inside the main entrance is gone, and the backdrop behind the stage is now the more traditional jet black backdrop, which, in my personal opinion, I think is better for seeing musicians do their thing on stage.
And speaking of the musicians on stage, the acts that people will see now at the Queen are a bit different as well. What is Live Nation bringing to the table in that regard? I know you alluded to it a little bit at the beginning.
Well, Live Nation is a global company, whereas World Cafe Live, despite having the ability to bring great acts to Wilmington in the past, was more of a regional outfit. If you had the chance to see the Phillies play or the Blue Rocks play and the venue was the same, you'd probably pick the Phillies, right? I mean, this is major league versus minor league is the way I would equate it. I think that once Live Nation really gets rolling here, especially in 2018, you could see some big acts, with respect to the size of the venue possibly coming to Wilmington, that World Cafe Live probably just could never entice to come to the first state.
And you mentioned in your piece that they're taking kind of a melting pot approach where they're not going to try to pigeonhole to a certain genre or type of music, that they really are kind of broadening things out. Tell us a little bit about that, and does that mean there's a chance the names are going to be recognizable enough for a broad audience to really want to come and see this kind of melting pot approach?
Yeah, well, one of the leftovers from World Cafe Live to Live Nation is Christiana LaBuz. She is a talent buyer, and she basically served the same role for World Cafe Live. So she has a good feel of what works and what doesn't work on Market Street. I think Wilmington concertgoers and the greater area, for the most part, are excited about the prospect of what Live Nation can bring. I mean, I know I am. Whether or not that melting pot notion will work is hard to put a finger on. But I think it worked well for a good portion of the World Cafe Live's years there, but just maybe not on a grand enough scale. I think we all know the stigma with Wilmington for some reason is that it's not safe and that parking is a pain, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't find that to be true. I mean, I've been on Market Street all times of the year for different shows and all kinds of weather, and I feel perfectly safe on Market and have no trouble finding parking. I think Live Nation has the ability to put some serious names in there. And if they're willing to give the Queen a shot, despite owning venues in Philadelphia and Baltimore, then yes, I think that can work.
And it is something that you will see everything from perhaps hip-hop to kind of folk. They really will bring in just about anything.
Yeah, I think World Cafe Live leaned a lot on that kind of roots rock Americana feel that really kind of lends itself to the vibe on WXPN, which they had partnered with the University of Pennsylvania years ago. I think you'll probably see Live Nation get away from that a little bit. I don't think they're going to completely abandon it, but I just felt like World Cafe Live really relied on a lot of that string band type, a lot of strings, a lot of guitars, kind of, Americana, roots rock, alt rock kind of feel. And I think Live Nation won't abandon it, but they'll skew away from it and just try to be a little more diverse.
You talked a little bit earlier about being safe in Wilmington, and one thing you did note in your piece is that there is a little bit more security at the venue now with Live Nation in charge, which I thought was interesting. What's the story behind that?
Well, it has nothing to do with Wilmington, I can tell you that. If you've been to a show at the Fillmore in Philadelphia or any other number of Live Nation venues in the East or across the country, the beefed up security is pretty much standard practice. I imagine it's an insurance and liability thing above all else. I know they contract with a security company that runs the same type of program, the Firefly, and no one, to my knowledge, has ever said they felt unsafe there. I think it's a matter of, you know, this day and age we live in where, you know, there are some maniacs out there that might try and smuggle a gun or a bomb into a live venue for whatever reason. You know, see London with Ariana Grande, and then, of course, this past summer in Las Vegas with the Route 91 Harvest Festival. I think it's more a commentary maybe on, you know, where we are socially in terms of gun violence, but that's probably a topic for a future edition of The Green.
Yeah, absolutely. One of World Cafe Live's commitments was to smaller acts, to local acts, oftentimes using what was known when it ran the venue as the upstairs live space. That piece, the upstairs live space, is gone from the venue. Is the commitment to local acts gone with it? And if so, what would the impact be on the local music scene if they're not as committed as World Cafe Live was?
Well, I really hope it isn't, because there are a lot of good people on the local scene here trying to make things work, and the loss of that upstairs space certainly puts a dent in that movement. I think Live Nation is still committed to local music, but as of now, that only works if a local band or a set of bands can get enough people to make the downstairs venue viable. If not, I've been told by some local musicians that they'll be moved upstairs. So that space is available upstairs for rent, for private events and whatnot, but Live Nation is not manning or operating it on a regular basis. So, you know, when you look at the local landscape in terms of venues, it's basically out for now. I think best case scenario is a restaurateur comes in and opens the space, maybe makes it their own, uses the stage that they have there. If not, it would be a total waste of space, in my opinion, and it would definitely be a detriment to the local music scene if it doesn't get up and running at some point.
And I know you mentioned in your piece, Theo, one of the events that was a regular there, the Wilmo Wednesdays, has found a new home, right?
Yeah, they're up the street now at Ernest and Scott Tap Room, and I've spoken with the two, with Jeremy and Gail, who started that concert promoting company, I guess you'd call it, you know, a little less than a decade ago. They do the Wilmo Rock Circus and the Ladybug Festival, and they're happy with their new home. I don't think Ernest and Scott has the same cozy vibe as Upstairs Live did, but they're making the best of it, and they're happy with the way things are so far.
How about with fans? What's the reaction so far been from fans attending shows at the new iteration of The Queen?
Yeah, it's been generally good. I've only done two shows there myself since the changeover. I think even the most pessimistic local music fans and musicians themselves are optimistic about the potential that Live Nation brings with them. I mean, this is a major concert promoter and booker that, you know, is lumped in with Ticketmaster. I think there's a lot of potential there, and it's an awesome building. You know, they've made some changes, but not so much that it, you know, makes it look completely different. They just kind of made it their own. So I think there's a lot of potential, and I think so far people are pretty happy with the way it looks and the way things have gone, and I think there's a lot of optimism there for the future.
You mentioned the potential. Do we have any sense what else Live Nation may have up its sleeve as it continues to kind of make its home in the Queen?
I think outside of the decor, which they've already changed a bit, the general manager there told me that they're planning on putting in a small bar and a dining area inside the main entrance, which will also eventually offer patio seating looking out onto 5th and Market Street. I know they're looking at ways to get better sight lines on the balcony, and they're trying to expand the overall capacity downstairs from about 900 or 950 to 1,100, and also maximizing the bar space downstairs as well. I can't really get a sense of a timeline on the bigger aspects, because some of them might even require some structural changes, but they're definitely targeting spring for the outdoor dining option in 2018.
And you did mention earlier there was some possibility for that upstairs live space, but that's a Puccini-Poland thing, I suppose, rather than a Live Nation thing?
It is. So the way I understand is that Live Nation, you know, has control of the upstairs area inside the main entrance and the downstairs area and most of the facilities, including the Olympia Room, which can be rented out for bigger events. It overlooks Market Street from, I think, the second or third floor. Mm-hmm. But the upstairs live space, I just don't think that Live Nation looked at that as a viable option. I think that they probably looked at the numbers that World Cafe Live had, even on the busier Wednesdays, and said that this is just not, you know, it's just not meeting the bottom line that we want to foresee. So I think they're leaving it open. I'm not really sure in terms of, you know, the contract, how it works, but I know that the upstairs live you know, room is open. And I know that Buccini-Palin is very eager to try to get someone in there at some point.
All right. Rob, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for the piece.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.